neutral.
Because if I look, come, Chairman, if I come and talk shit about her, y'all going to have a problem.
Welcome to the Jasmine Crockett Senate Campaign Let the mind games begin.
Somebody said the other day, she's one of the leaders of the party. I said, you got to be kidding.
Got two words for every racist bigot living Jasmine Crockett.
Crockett, a St. Louis-born private school princess who grew up in the cushy suburbs.
No one could have told me that when I went down to Austin, now looks like a little bit over a year ago, that I would be running for Congress.
Who embarrassingly cosplays as the hood's angry auntie the minute she smells a camera.
Baby, these people, they are crazy because they always talk about how Christian they is.
Her veteran socialist squad mentality immediately ostracizing most Texas voters.
Texas has always been found to be intentionally discriminatory.
It's almost like a slave mentality that they have. Now, about the time that was published last year, around 1 million Latino voters in Texas were voting for Trump. Do they all have slave mentality?
No, and that's not what that said at all.
A strategy of blind delusion in a state where President Trump received 56% of the vote in the last election.
Y'all know we got Governor High Wheels down there. Come on now.
It's another day and another disaster by the Democrats. The reality is they have no vision, no policy. They have nothing to sell but hate.
Her routine is that she wants to bring a little bit of what I might quaintly call the ghetto catfight into these spaces. I get it, you know, bring a blaxploitation movie or something into Congress. Great, working. But you do not make fun of the fact that somebody lives their life in a wheelchair. That doesn't work.
The campaign itself, the monstrosity has been on full display for years, where it is now finally crashing out before your very eyes.
Basically, the Republicans have become synonymous for Russians at this point.
When I first became a public defender, I had no criminal defense experience. And I walked in and I told my boss, Charlie, I said, listen, you should hire me. He said, why? I said, because I'm black.
I was clear that it was A. Jeffrey Epstein, but I never said that it was specifically that Jeffrey Epstein.
But as somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols. There has been no oppression for the white man in this country. You tell me which white men were dragged out of their homes.
I do want people to know that just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal.
We have no perfect systems. We have always had some level of fraud in anything that we have because there's no such thing as perfection walking on this earth.
Unfortunately for her, people aren't buying what she is vigorously selling.
I'm gonna show these white folks I ain't scared of them.
How is it possible that my 10-year-old daughter can hear Jasmine Crockett for the first time, listen to two clips, and the first thing she said to me was, Dad, her voice changed.
She is such an insult to all educated black women in America. She perpetuates the stereotype of a ghetto black hood woman, something she is not.
One of the most famous or infamous, depends on how you see it, women in society today is Jasmine Crockett, elected to office. And look at how she talks. Look at what she's brought. Just hood language for a lady.
So I'm going to say what the American people been wanting to say for a very long time. This party called the Democratic Liberal Party, y'all can kiss the American ass. The whole entire American ass. We're done with you clowns.
Texas doesn't think like a trust fund revolutionary poser. And the only thing more embarrassing than Crockett's circus is the media and the Democrats pretending she's anything other than the fraud she's always been. Then again, this is all the doomed Democrats have going.
I challenge somebody to go and find a clip of a Democrat invoking violence.
I think that you punch. I think you punch. I think you're okay with you okay with punching.
We are not only gonna punch you back, but we are gonna knock you out.
I am here to tell you not only are we gonna punch back, but we about to beat you down.
Just let me tell you that we know how to use a chair, whether we pulling it up or are we doing something else with it?
Congressman John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
We have a new product in.
and thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Feeling especially Christmassy this Friday afternoon. I do hope you're supporting us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Got a very cool poster right here of Alex aiming his six-shooter. Sorry, say that again. Sorry, the crew just said something. Oh, the posters are from InfoWars Store. Okay, thank you, crew. I didn't know that. Okay, so the posters can be found at InfoWarsStore.com. The classic, the legendary InfoWarsStore.com is where you can get one or all three of the incredible posters, one with Alex with a six-shooter, two with the Crusader King on them. I think they'd make amazing Christmas presents for the InfoWarrior, the patriot in your life. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or TheAlexJonesStore.com to get all the great supplements, 40% off site-wide with the 12 Days of Christmas sale. And these are, of course, fundraisers, and you're helping to keep us on the air and shore up the shortfalls we've had just because of, again, just the endless bankruptcy crap that we've had to deal with that, thank God, has not taken us down because you've supported us. And we really do appreciate your support. It's the only reason we're on the air. And we're feeling especially Christmassy. I wanted the crew to come in. I didn't think of it until too late. But I can't help. Every time I think of silver and gold, I think of Yukon Cornelius from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. A man who loved silver and gold, maybe second only to our guest, Kirk Elliott. Dr. Elliott has been safeguarding clients' assets with precious metals for over 21 years. His firm, Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, serves over 18,000 clients all over the world in every state. He has reallocated billions of clients' assets into precious metals. You can find their website at kepm.com/gold, or you can call 720-605-3900. Mr. Elliott, thank you for joining us today.
You bet, Harrison. It's great to be with you.
Well, the pleasure is mine, and I know you've got some tips for people, and if people are wondering what's going on in the market, just search silver and go to the Google News tab. Clearly, things are happening here, and headlines are exploding about this record high that silver recently hit. Now it's dipped back down. Tell us what's going on in the precious metal world today.
Well, use the dip as a buying opportunity because, yeah, we hit over $64 like yesterday. Today it's like hovering it around 62-ish, probably just a little bit under that. But here's the thing. The fundamentals of the markets didn't change, right? So when the fundamentals don't change, you allocate into it because you know it's going to continue to grow. Mm. So, you know, to go back just a little bit on Thanksgiving, something really weird happened, right? So I was at my in-law's house, ate too much turkey, took a nap, watched football, like everybody does, right?
Yes.
Little did I know what was happening behind the scenes till the next morning when I woke up. It's like, holy cow, silver went from 54 to 58 when the markets weren't open, right? It's like, what gives? So I look and it's like, wow, they halted trading at CME at COMEX. On copper and silver. Why would they halt trading, right? So Harrison, halting trading isn't a abnormal thing in the markets. So why would they do it? So if you have massive price volatility of more than 10% up or 10% down in a 60-minute period, they can halt trading for a few minutes, right? To just kind of calm things down.
Stopgap measure.
But they halted trading for 10 hours. And they blamed it on a cooling tower, right? It's like the cooling tower in the server room broke, so they had to halt trading. It's like, okay, I'm a business guy. You know, we all understand that if you have the largest exchange in North America, you're going to have a redundant system.
You would hope.
Yeah, you would hope, and we know that they do, right? So cooling tower breaks down within a minute or so, you turn on the other one, right? And so, you know, so, but that's not what happened. So then there's stories that are starting to surface of a mysterious trade where somebody, an AP is what they called it, an associated person, made an exchange for physical, like, request to have 400 million ounces of silver delivered by the end of the month.
Whoa.
It's like 400 million. Okay, so put this into perspective. All of the mines globally, all the silver mines globally in 1 year produce about 850 or so million ounces of silver. Whoa. So in one trade, they want maybe half of it delivered. That's impossible, right? So the banks would default on that. So rather than facing a default situation, they scurry and they say, what should we do? This is my interpretation of what happened, right? So it's like, let's just shut it down, right? So, right. So they shut it down. Prices jump up $4 overnight. And the cooling towers is such a lame story, Harrison, because anybody that's like a data nerd out there, and I use that term very lovingly because I'm a nerd too. It's like, if you've got tons of transactions happening, tons of computer processes going, yeah, the computers heat up and you need a cooling tower. But the markets were closed. It was Thanksgiving. Banks weren't even open. Right. International trading was open. Like, China doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving. It's an American thing. But that's not why it happened, right? So they made a story and it shut it down. So then the day after Thanksgiving, silver jumps up to 58. Then it was the weekend. On Monday, it came down to like 57, you know, just probably some profit taking. But from the Monday after Thanksgiving until today, it's literally gone from like 57 to 62 today. It's like, wow. This is amazing growth, right? So what does that tell us? It tells us that there is a lot of oxygen fueling this fire right now. And as an economist, I always look at supply and demand. That's the only thing that really matters.
Right.
When you have low supply and high demand, prices are going to go up. Well, on InfoWars here, you know, Alex and I have been talking for months about how London has run out of silver,
right?
They don't have enough free float silver to fund their transactions. And so because of that, the banks who fund the settlements jacked up the lease rates and the borrowing rates to settle transactions to like 100%. Okay. This is normally it's less than 10%. Huh. So what does that mean? For every refinery, every exchange, every dealer that's carrying an inventory, at 100% lease rate, it was costing them 15 cents a day per ounce to store silver. For people like my company to actually buy it, they had to have money in storage, right? Or silver in storage. They didn't want to do that. So refineries everywhere are cutting their inventories down to flat so they don't have carrying costs. Well, because of that, there's no silver to go to London. So this is like the catch 22 of all catch 22s. London still doesn't have silver to settle these transactions and all roads lead to London. So therefore prices keep going up and up and up and up. And now we're starting to see some other amazing things that have happened. And to me, this is one of the most significant things ever. So I'm going to illustrate this with a story. So back in 2002, I got into this industry in January of 2002. The end of 2001, there was a signal in the markets that happened, right? And silver blew through the comparison. If you were to look at a chart of silver versus like the broad-based stock market index, the SPX, the S&P 500, it blew through that. Well, that signaled the start of a 10-year bull market in silver.
Hmm.
So from 2001 to 2011, silver went from the 450 range to $48, a 10x increase.
Wow.
So that signal, because of the price rise on the Friday after Thanksgiving, was breached again, right? And it's not when, you know, Alex and I started doing shows together on InfoWars, you know, silver was in the low 20s. That's not when this bull market and this signal started. The signal started on Friday after Thanksgiving when silver was $58 an ounce. So what does that tell us? We're probably in for a 10-year bull market in silver with the starting point of 58, not $4.50. So the last time the signal was breached, it was a 10x increase. Where does this put silver moving forward? Technically, if history repeats itself, it could put silver in the $500+ range.
Right.
Even if it's half of that goes to 250, we're at $62 today, right? So now, this is kind of the foundational backdrop of why silver is so good. Add that to no supply, high demand. You know, the world doesn't operate without silver.
Right.
It's in every electronics. It's in electric vehicles, battery technology, missiles and torpedoes, solar power, you know, everything that we've talked about on your show and Alex's over the couple of years. All of that's intact. The demand is not going down. What's the problem is there's no supply because it's being used, right? So here's where I think there's a bigger issue at hand. It's not like silver is gone. It's in the wrong place. Like China has it. India has it. They're not sending it back to London so London can fix their stupid issue of having over 350 ounces of paper contracts for every 1 ounce of physical deliverable silver. They're over-leveraged. So what does this tell us? This tells us that China might want to eliminate London as the precious metals capital and the financial capital of the world. See, they're not going to replenish stockpiles at London. Why would they? When their goal is something different, right? So you've got that backdrop. Now, on Wednesday of this week, something big happened, and that's the Federal Reserve had their meeting, and they lowered interest rates by 25 basis points.
Right.
Right. So what does that mean as additional oxygen to this fire? Well, whenever you lower interest rates, anybody that's on fixed income is going to start making less, right? So what do? They start looking for anything else to replace that lost income. And I'm not just talking about people. I'm talking about institutions and everything else. So why not look at silver, which is up 111% year to date? Literally, that trend could slow down, Harrison, by 90%. And you're still at like 11% annual growth, even right. If it slows down by 90%. That's double the yield that you're getting on U.S. treasuries, right? So it's like, even if it comes down 90%, it's still a much better option. So here's where they lowered interest rates. And CNBC posted a recap of the Federal Reserve meeting. And they said, there's five big takeaways from this. It's like, it's not five big takeaways. There was like two big takeaways, right? Number one, they lowered interest rates. Number two, Jerome Powell basically said, we're going to resume bond buying by the Fed, which they had suspended for a long time. Hmm. But now that the rest of the world is de-dollarizing, they're no longer buying U.S. treasuries because the U.S. dollar is tanking.
Right.
Right. It's just absolutely tanking. So who's the buyer of last resort for U.S. bonds? It's the Fed. So here, Jerome Powell in his swan song, because he's going to be out, you know, in the spring.
Right.
He puts on his quiet little house slippers and he sneaks over to the printing press and says, I'm going to press the red button and I'm going to print money and we're going to buy bonds. Right. So that started this morning.
Right.
$40 billion bond purchase in one day. Right. So what is that? And you'll hear this term. It's quantitative easing. When you want to stimulate the economy, you lower interest rates and you print money,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's exactly what he's doing. So, or if the government wants to raise money, they either can print money or they can raise taxes, right? You can't raise taxes when people are living at the margin. See, Trump is still dealing with the hangover effect from the Biden economy.
Right.
He can't rest his laurels or that story forever because at some point he has to own his decisions, right? Mm-hmm. But literally for the first 12 to 18 months, which is the lag effect, it's the action effect on policy. You could make a policy today and you won't see the fruit on that tree for 12 to 18 months. It just takes time. So we're still dealing with the Biden economy for probably the next 6 months. So everything that we're seeing, The wages not keeping up, the unemployment issues, the recession that we're in is still the aftermath of the Biden economy for at least the next 6 months. After that, if Trump doesn't fix things, well, then it's on him. Mm. But this isn't on him, right? So what Powell is doing is, I'm going to try to stimulate the economy by running the printing press. This is going to bring inflation, right? So oddly enough, you know, I'm being a little political here, but it's a midterm election year.
Right.
This is why when the president has the White House and the House and the Senate, why in the midterms you usually lose, right, you know, one of the houses of Congress, right? Because if you're dealing with the predecessor's economy for the first 18 months, and that's like almost two years, it's like, yeah, they're going to say, Trump, you stank at growing the economy. It's like, it's not my fault. We're still dealing with the aftermath. This is why the House loses seats, right? So imagine the headwinds that we're going to get moving forward if we lose the House in the midterms, and you have an inflationary pressures, and we're in a recession. And yesterday, the numbers came out about the housing market. It's the worst it's been since the depths of COVID, right? The housing across the nation has come down 1.7%. It's a negative growth for the year, right? So how do you stimulate the housing market? You lower interest rates. Right. See, this is where Powell is saying, we're stuck, but what he's going to do is create inflation. This is not going to look good for any incumbent, you know, because they're right. going to say prices keep going up. But what he just did is he opened up the floodgates of inflationary pressures. What goes up with inflation? Things do. Bicycles, eggs, gold and silver, yep, oil and gas. They all go up with inflation because they're tangible assets. They right. are things.
Silver and gold have sort of an inverse relationship to the strength of the dollar, right? It's a hedge against the, mm-hmm. the dollar going down.
Yeah. So look at it this way. The more the dollar decreases, it takes more of that declining dollar to buy things.
Right.
So with the dollar tanking, of course, gold and silver are going to go up. It helps maintain your purchasing power. But the dollar hasn't tanked 50%, which is what it would mean if silver's up 100%, right, which it is. It's up 111. So what we're seeing now is this paradigm shifting moment globally where the institutions of the past, as we know it, like fiat-based money creation by the Fed, a world that's based on debt, people are starting to see through that. And the systems as we know it are dying as we start to change into what's the new world going to look like. Is it cryptocurrency right. with stable coins? Is it currencies that are backed by gold? Or like in India, backed by gold and silver?
Right.
You know, moving to something different, because once governments lose faith and confidence in the people they've lost, well, we're basically there. Once people lose faith and confidence in the banks, they look to alternative assets like cryptocurrency or gold and silver. See, to me, this is a fundamental issue that we're facing globally, that people have lost confidence in everything and they're looking for anything that's real.
Right.
Right. That's the intangible tangible that we're looking at, in addition to no supply, high demand, and prices are just going up. And this is an amazing thing for anybody who's allocated into precious metals over the last year, over the last 2 years, or over the last 3 years. They've doubled their positions based on when they got in, or more.
And the earlier, the sooner you do it, the better off you are. And I mean, it sounds like the whole system is just overburdened to the point of uselessness. You said London is over leveraged by 350 times. Did I get that right? So this is their mistake that we get to take advantage of here.
Yeah. And it's not just London. It's COMEX too. You've got futures contracts that people hedge themselves with. And so if you look at what just happened after Thanksgiving, and the story was, ooh, these big banks, the JP Morgans of the world and the Bank of America's and whoever else, they extinguish their short positions. Because if you have a short position, you're betting the price is going to go down.
Right.
If the price of silver goes up, you lose your shirt. Mm. Well, over Thanksgiving, silver went from 54 to 58 while the markets weren't even open. They were hemorrhaging money. So rather than facing default, let's just shut the system down, right? So here's where moving forward, you would think, okay, they extinguished a bunch of their short positions. They did not. They rolled them over instead of the December contract to the March contract.
Oh.
So here's where silver is moving up so rapidly and so nicely, and people were expecting this short squeeze to happen in December. It's not going to happen until March. But what does this give us? Gives us an opportunity to get in before a short squeeze happens. And this is what's exciting to me, because so many people call me every single day, literally hundreds of people a day call our office. And I'm talking to dozens of them myself. It's like, have I missed the boat? It's like, no, you haven't missed the boat. I think what's yet to come is more than what we've already gained. You only miss the boat if you don't get in the boat, right?
Right.
So I would take advantage of this. Like over the last day, silver came down a couple bucks over the last 48 hours, actually. So it's like, take advantage of that.
It's more like it's temporary. Yeah, you've missed the first few cars of the train, but the train is still rolling. You still have time to jump on. It's not too late. It hasn't left the station.
Yeah, you'll still get to your destination and with a massive profit, right? But yeah, you can't change the past. And people have this like remorse of, I wish I would have gotten in at $18 and $25 and $35, whatever it was, right? Yeah, hindsight is always better, right? But you haven't missed the boat unless you get on. And I had this conversation with a client yesterday. It's like, Kirk, it's against the grain for me to get in at an all-time high. It's like, why do you think it's at an all-time high? Right? It's like, people thought that about gold 4 months ago. And what does it keep doing? It keeps going up and up and up and up. So it was an all-time high then, but now it's much higher because the fundamentals that caused the growth haven't changed.
Right.
And people ask me this every single day. It's like, how high is it going to go and when? Like, oh, okay, I don't know that answer completely. But what I do know, gold and silver aren't going to peak out until the world changes.
Mm.
I don't see the world changing anytime real soon. I don't see us getting out of the inflationary death spiral that we're in. I don't see us getting out of debt. I don't see the wars and rumors of wars ending anytime soon. I don't see the miners opening up new mines anytime soon to increase the supply, because it takes literally 10 to 18 years from the time you conceptualize a mine opening up until it becomes operational. So this is where this boils down to. We probably do have a 10-year bull market left. Take advantage of this move and take advantage of it now.
Wow. Yeah, so if I'm a young man, I just started working, I finally have money in my bank account for the first time, but it's sitting there and my interest rate is less than inflation, so I'm actually losing money just sitting in a bank, I want to invest it in silver or gold. I go to kepm.com/gold or I call 720-605-3900. What other advice do you have in the last 30 seconds?
I mean, you've got it. So if you have funds sitting in your bank account, you don't trust your bank, or in a brokerage account, it's easy to move it over. Just give us a call. If you have an IRA, roll it, tax-free rollover into an IRA denominated in physical metals. If you have a 401k and you're older than 59 and a half and you're still working there, you can still roll it into a traditional IRA. And I'm not talking about paper versions of gold or silver. It's not an ETF. It's not a certificate. It's physical bars and coins allocated into your retirement accounts. Take advantage of this market safely.
Can't beat that. As somebody who basically distrusts all of finance, I can hold silver. I can hold gold. I understand that. So I'm very happy with it. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much for joining us. Incredible wealth of information. KEPM.com/gold.
They looked at sleep deprivation with creatine supplementation. And so they randomized people to either drink a placebo drink or drink 20 grams of creatine through the night. And they kept them awake all night, and they had them do brain puzzle quizzes. And when the subjects were getting the 20 grams of creatine, they did way better on the brain puzzles, but they also complained about being tired a lot less. And so the conclusion is creatine is somehow acutely preventing your brain from suffering during sleep deprivation. And the rationale there is, you know, mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell, or the power plant that's producing the energy. Creatine is like the power grid, and it distributes that energy throughout the cell. And so if the purpose of sleep is to restore the energy that you used up, but then you intervene by putting creatine in there, now you can keep that energy going and you can go more hours before you need to get rest and restore that energy because you've increased your capacity to distribute it.
That makes sense. Used to be people only thought of creatine as being a muscle thing to help you recover. But then over the last year or two, I started hearing talking about cognitive function.
There is some literature on traumatic brain injury where 20 grams of creatine for 6 months doubles the rate of healing.
Whoa. That's incredible.
But it's, just creatine, I called it more than a performance enhancer because if you just look at where it's distributed in the body, almost every cell and every tissue has the creatine system. And if you look at the literature, they'll say, well, it's more important in certain cells. Like, it's really important in your muscles because your muscles have this very polarized, sometimes they're at rest, sometimes their energy demand is going through the roof. And it's really important in like long cells. So for example, your retina is part of your central nervous system, and it's a really long cell that's coming from the brain into the eye, and creatine helps move energy back and forth. But if you just look at where, instead of where is it most important, you just like, where is it? It's like almost every cell in your body has creatine, and it's helping distribute the energy that the mitochondria make throughout your whole body, and that includes pumping stomach acid, it includes sperm swimming up the vaginal canal. And so if you just look at where it is, you would think that creatine would help a lot more than muscles. And I think creatine is really important because it's not in the mitochondria so much as it carries forth the mitochondrial energy of the rest of the cell, but that also feeds back in the repair functions for the mitochondria. And so I think creatine, optimizing your creatine status is super important. And I think that everyone who's not eating 1 or 2 pounds of meat per day should probably be taking creatine.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Oh, you're a Nazi. You want peace. You're just a citizen, and you're still on the leash. It doesn't matter which thing you choose. At the end of the game, you lose. You're just a chess piece on a board for the haters. Keep up the pawn, keep up the cans, keep up the wall, wall, wall. Keep up the refs, keep up the dance, giving them all, all, all.
This stay is the silent, latest release from IMA, friend of the show. It's called Good Citizen. It's an absolutely fantastic track, as all of her stuff is, not just because it is political. It's deeply political. She goes pretty far on this stuff. And, of course, if you've seen her interviews here, you know her mindset is one that aligns with ours and the general desire for human freedom. Her lyrics are incredible, but the music is great, too. That's what we need more of, right-wing art. Now, I'm going to be joined by Tiffany Cianci in the next hour. So I got this segment. Show you as many videos as I possibly can. And I got some doozies for you, folks. Let's start off with the Somali crime wave, shall we? Let's start off with fraud upon fraud upon fraud upon fraud. Let's talk about the fraud that's necessary in order to cause all the other fraud. We're going to look at the way the Somalis, who have bilked billions of dollars out of the American people, are getting away with it. Despite being convicted by a jury, they're being let go by, what do you expect, rogue liberal judges who have no justification for dropping these cases. Let's go to clip number four here. More Minnesota judges are dismissing these fraud cases, even though they're getting convictions with juries. Let's watch.
The Minnesota judge who tossed out a jury's guilty verdict in a fraud case is not the only judge in Hennepin County who had problems with the state's case. I broke this story that went national a couple weeks ago. Judge Sarah West acquitted Abdi Fattah Youssef 3 months after a jury found him guilty in a $7.2 million home health care fraud scheme. Since then, I found that another judge, Amber Brennan, dismissed charges against Youssef's wife before it reached trial. And a third judge, Hillary Caligiuri, dismissed charges against another co-defendant. In that case, Caligiuri said the state had very little evidence. Judge West's ruling relies on a review standard for cases that rely heavily on circumstantial evidence with wording that is unique to Minnesota. It says that the evidence has to be inconsistent with any other reasonable hypothesis. I'm following a state Supreme Court decision expected to come back soon that could completely rewrite all of that. It's the conviction of Nick Firkus for the 2010 murder of his wife, Heidi. Whether his conviction is overturned or affirmed, the court opinion will have a huge impact on many cases in the state. I'm Lou Ragus. Follow for more news.
I really don't even understand the connection there. This murder case is going to the Supreme Court, and they'll decide whether evidence has to be exclusively for one possibility, but if it's consistent with another, how about when you get a conviction for the fraud, it sticks? How about that? Why are the judges letting these people and their spouses out? Because they want to, I guess. I guess that's the law now. The law is whatever the law book says, unless it conflicts with a random activist in a judge robe, in which case the law just doesn't matter and doesn't count. Now, there's more being discovered about the true scale of the Somali crime wave. Let's go to clip number two here and learn how these Somalis spent their ill-gotten gains, other than sending it to terrorists in Somalia, of course. Here's the other ways.
A honeymoon in the Maldives, a fleet of luxury cars. Here's a box with more than $270,000 in cash. This was all evidence from a new trove of files obtained exclusively by CBS News, showing how a group of convicted Minnesota fraudsters spent taxpayer dollars. One text message reads, "You are going to be the richest 25-year-old.
We're not even at the end of the beginning of our pursuit of the stolen money and of the people who stole it.
U.S. Attorney Daniel Rosen leads the office digging into the wave of COVID-era fraud that hit Minnesota.
So how much money are we talking about stolen from the American taxpayer?
I can say with great comfort, well in excess of $1 billion.
In the past 3 years, 87 defendants have been charged, 61 convicted. The majority of them are Somali-American. Minnesota has the nation's largest Somali population. The perpetrators are accused of ripping off state-run programs intended to feed low-income kids, house the disabled, and provide services to autistic children.
This was a get-rich scheme.
Andy Luger was the U.S. attorney who first examined this fraud. He left in January.
One of the things we discovered is that a number of the people involved were buying investment property, resort property in Kenya.
Wire transfers reviewed by CBS News also show more than $1 million went to Chinese banks. The Trump administration has said it's investigating whether any of the money fell into the hands of terror groups like Al-Shabaab in Somalia.
And of course, it absolutely did. One of the things was that, anyway, we got a lot to show you. So I'm just going to keep going here because we now have a video from Governor Tim Walz where he, I guess, is defending Somalians. Let's go to clip number three here. Governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz.
Do you want to hear more from members and leaders from the Somali community to say, we need to look at ourselves, we need to hold our own neighbors accountable, because look at the damage that this has done to our community. What do you want to hear more from instead of just saying, don't blame us? Do you want to see more ownership and oversight from within?
Look, it's not law-abiding citizens. If that were the case, there's a lot of white men should be holding a lot of white men accountable for the crimes that they have committed. I think for the community to maybe educate their population, because I think what you're seeing here is there's secondary victims in this, that there's providers inside the community that are then victimizing the community themselves by signing them up, because when we're going to some of these people, they're like, I had no idea I was in this program. So I think it's asking us then, you know, for every crime, which of course the majority being committed by white men asking us to do more about that. I think it's crime in general. And I think the biggest thing on this is just making sure that we're educating the population. And again, this is 80 people or so that have been convicted in this, maybe some more in that.
Soft bigotry of low expectations. I guess I shouldn't be astonished at this point. It's just there's something so flagrant about it. The question was actually a great question. Should we be expecting more from these Somali leaders? What have we seen from the Somali leaders? Have we seen any of them come out and say, this doesn't represent us, this isn't us, we reject these people? Has the fraud been discovered by the Somali community? Are they the ones that reported it? Are they the ones that exposed it? The fellow Somalis in their own community? Or does Ilhan Omar come out and say, actually, the reason this fraud happened is because there weren't guardrails? It's not the Somali people's fault. It's your fault for letting them screw you over. So the Somali community, in a very obvious way, is providing cover for the people in their own community that commit crimes. Saying, oh, it's not their fault. It's actually the government's fault for not stopping them from doing this. That was Ilhan Omar's response to this. See, maybe this is actually highlighting a key distinction between white people in Minnesota and Somalis in Minnesota. You don't have to tell white people to police ourselves. We're very good at that, actually. There's no barrier to doing that. There's not examples that you can point to of white people covering up for other white people because they're white. That doesn't happen, actually. It does happen in the Somali community. We're not talking about all crime. We're talking about the extensive, coordinated fraud carried out expressly by the Somali community. That's what we're talking about. How do we deal with that? He's like, well, white people commit crimes too. Okay, we'll talk about that later. We're talking about the Somali crime right now. What does the Somali community have to do to stop the crime that's coming out of their own community? Tim Walz says, no obligations. How dare you, white people, commit crimes too? Great. You find me a community of white people who are bilking a Somali government out of millions of dollars and covering up for it and sending the money back to America, and we'll talk about that then, Tim. Again, in any other situation with any other group of people, it is so mind-blowingly insane what these people think. It's truly, it just leaves me speechless. I'm trying to imagine. I really am. Just pick any other group of people. And maybe we'll do this, you know, from now on. Anytime anybody brings up any crime from any group of people, we'll be like, well, you know, Somalis committed a bunch of crime in Minnesota. Doesn't matter if it doesn't have anything to do with anything else. Just apparently if something else happens somewhere else, then that means you don't have to care about the thing here. Actually, I think it's Atheism is Unstoppable has a turn of phrase for this, where it's like, two wrongs make a who cares. Two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs make a who cares. Oh, well, sure, the Somali communities stole billions upon billions of dollars in a coordinated all of community fashion, but white people also commit crime over there, so I guess we don't care about this one anymore. Yeah, the White House has posted proof that Ilhan Omar married her brother. So add that to the pile of proof that Ilhan Omar married her brother. And again, it's about the endless, relentless, innumerable examples of ungodly amounts of fraud that the American people are subjected to on a, again, continual basis. Let's go to clip number one here. This is one of the craziest videos I've ever seen about fraud in America. The number is unimaginable. The way this was carried out, it almost has to be deliberate that this was allowed to happen. $79 billion of fraud through PPP and COVID. So we'll unpack this on the other side. But here is just one instance of one of the programs of our government being scammed by nearly $80 billion. Let's watch.
For over a decade, I've been exposing egregious Washington waste with my monthly Squeal Awards. Some examples are too outrageous to believe. I'm talking about bureaucrats approving PPP loans for applicants who used pictures of dolls for IDs. Imagine giving Barbie or Ken a taxpayer-funded loan. Not only that, but they also believe folks claiming to be over 115 years old were alive and well enough to be approved for 3,095 PPP and EIDL loans worth $333 million, including $36,000 to a 157-year-old. That's pure hogwash. But this is only the tip of the iceberg. Instead of boosting Main Street, millions of your tax dollars were wasted through USAID to fund Iraqi Sesame Street. And this one is unacceptable. Improper payments or the government tossing cash into the wrong trough have become commonplace. In fiscal year 2024, federal agencies shoveled out $162 billion in improper payments. The most frustrating part is how simple it is to stop this waste. A report by the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee found that $79 billion in potential COVID fraud could have been prevented if four basic questions were asked. One, is the applicant's Social Security number valid? Two, if valid, does the name connected to that number match the name on the application? Three, does the birthday match? And lastly, is the individual alive? Seriously, folks, that could have saved $79 billion right there. The good news is that we can prevent nearly all improper payments in the future with my DOGE in Spending Act that enacts common sense guardrails like those four simple questions.
Four simple questions. It was literally easier to bilk the American government out of millions of dollars than it is to sign up for a free Gmail account. Go try to sign up for a Gmail account and say you're 157 years old. It won't let you. And they'll say, no, you're too old. That doesn't count. That's not your real age. Somehow they figured it out. But when our government is given the authority to hand out hundreds of billions of dollars, they can't manage the same level of sophistication as a free email server. And it really makes it obvious how absurd the entire government is, like the whole thing, because you know what they would say, right? If you go, what the hell, how was this such an inadequate vetting system? Like what? And it's like, well, we don't have any money, you know, and we don't have the money to hire the people to do things right. But we do have the money to hand out $80 billion to people that don't deserve it. Like you understand, if you spent $77 billion on the program, and all, so you spent $77 billion to make sure that it was secure, that's still a profitable enterprise. You would still save $1 billion. This is the absurdity. It's like we can't afford to pay Google engineers to just make a form that you can't commit fraud through. Again, I just don't understand it. We have Social Security numbers. We have this sophisticated system. We have hundreds of billions of dollars to spare, and we can't make a system that's difficult to defraud. Probably because we're pinching pennies. But like, as we were experiencing cuts in that regard. It's like, well, we'll put $1 million over here, and then that'll be used to create the system that will dispense $100 billion. Anybody else see where this inconsistency is? How about you spend $77 billion building the system perfectly secure? That way you prevent $78 billion being stolen from you. You actually come out on top. If our government invested as much money as they could ever possibly need in creating these systems, we would still be saving money because then at least they would be secure. The whole thing is absurd. Pictures of dolls. Pictures of Barbie dolls. were used as ID photos. They weren't even trying. They weren't even trying. It'd be harder to scam somebody you're buying a bike off Craigslist, right? Literally, it's just like unbelievable. Now, they say $162 billion in fraud. I'm not even going to try to imagine that number. It's too much, too big. So let's just take that $79 billion. $79 billion that were stolen by people who were either using fake Social Security numbers, somebody else's Social Security number, a picture of a doll instead of their own face, just these, the four things that she mentioned, just confirm their age, confirm they're alive, confirm they have the right Social Security number. If they did those things, they'd save $79 billion. What could we afford with $79 billion? I asked Grok, and he broke it down for me. For $79 billion, we could afford 15 new major stadiums, plus 28 world-class hospitals, plus 100 state-of-the-art K through 12 schools, plus two public universities in their entirety. Staffing, the land, the campus, everything. Everything. Now, every time I say this, I have to admit, it makes me angry. Idiots will respond and say, oh, that's what we need, more stadiums for more football. And it's like, do you not understand what I'm saying here? The point is, what did we get for this? We spent this money. We didn't get stadiums. We didn't get hospitals. We didn't get high-speed rail. We didn't get a space program. What did we get for $80 billion? Nothing. As far as I can tell, we got nothing. What happens when you build a billion-dollar stadium? You create a billion dollars worth of jobs. You actually create a continual job generation machine because you can have shows and you can have rodeos and you can have sports games and you can have events and you can have concerts, and every one of these can bring in people from out of town to flood your city with money. 15 new state. Imagine 15 cities with a brand new state-of-the-art stadium. We could have had that if we'd bothered to make sure the right boxes were checked on the intake form. We could have had that. We could have had 100 K through 12 schools, two brand new state-of-the-art campuses for every single state in the union. I think that would be kind of useful. I think that would actually help America quite a bit. Again, the construction alone creates jobs. The teachers, the lessening of the pressure of the schools. I mean, the point is, it's unfathomable how much money has been robbed from the American people over and over and over. And you have to imagine what the world would be like if we got to spend it on us. What would America look like if American people actually benefited from the unbelievable prosperity that we create? What would it look like? But I gotta dodge hostile, drugged out homeless people on my walk home. I gotta try to get out of the city so I don't have to send my kid to the death trap of public school in Austin. Like, our lives aren't even good, like, let alone, magnificent. And yet we let $80 billion slip through our fingers by just scam artists realizing how unbelievably insecure the whole thing was. And then they just forgive the debt. The vast majority of the PPE, whatever debt, they just wrote it off, even though it was all fraudulent. I guess they knew they were never getting it back. I guess they never intended to get it back. It seems like the whole thing actually was entirely a scam from the beginning, from before the beginning, from the point when they released the COVID virus from the lab in Wuhan, China, to the point that they stopped any mitigation measures until it could seed itself fully into America. Only then did they institute any sort of policy, and the only policy they would permit was a two-week lockdown that they always knew was just the foot in the door they needed for a lockdown to extend until Election Day and beyond. So then the economy crashes. So then they have to do the PPE loans. Then they don't secure them and they start handing out the money to everybody. And then they forgive the money. And so the whole thing from the bottom, from the top to the bottom, is scam upon scam upon scam. But none of it needed to happen. All of it was a direct consequence of the deliberate decisions of the people in charge. It's not like they didn't know the economy was going to crash if they shut everybody down. Somehow we knew. Somehow InfoWars knew what the consequence was going to be. Somehow we knew kicking kids out of school was going to hamper their development. Somehow we knew that shutting down the economy would require this massive injection of cash that would only inflate the dollar and rob us in a million different ways as well. I mean, the whole thing is insane. Again, okay, you don't want a stadium? Fine. Would you like a hospital? Would you like a hospital? 28 world-class hospitals. And I mean world-class. I mean like the finest of the finest hospitals. You don't want that? Hell, don't buy the stadiums. How about we get 100 hospitals instead? How about two brand new, state-of-the-art, fully functional, fully staffed hospitals in every single state? Instead, what did we get? We got robbed. We got a million people in our country stealing billions of dollars and spending it on God knows what luxury items, snack food, like who knows? It just pilfered away into dust, into the air. No benefit to the American people whatsoever. And that is just one of 10 billion scams like that, robbing us blind continuously, forever, with no end in sight. Maybe I'll play another video in the first five here. I got more crazy videos that will just blow your mind, so stay with us. I do want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com if you can. Go to InfoWarsStore.com if you want to get some of these new posters. We got Christmas gifts for everybody on your wish list at InfoWarsStore.com and thealexjonesstore.com. And also, I keep saying it, New Year's is coming up. You're going to want to hit the ground running with your New Year's resolutions. And I always find, I actually do this every year. I try in a vain attempt to better myself on New Year's. And I like sort of organizing it around supplements. Going, okay, I'm going to wake up early, so I'm going to need a little pick-me-up in the morning. You know, I'll get some Shilajit gummies, some Irish sea moss. Okay, but I'm going to want to go to sleep at night. I'm going to need something to put me out. I might go for Knockout, which I believe is back in stock, a new formulation from Rex Jones. I saw him posting about that. Whatever you want to do, however you're going to try to better yourself, or even if you're perfect, go to thealexjonesstore.com today. Do your shopping before it's too late. And we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Oh!
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.